I'm a self-taught researcher. I've been doing looking into our history of who we are and what makes us who we are. And I've been one of the women that were that stood on the land from February 28, 2008. I've been active in a lot of different ways. I sit at when I can, I go and listen at the negotiation table. I go to development sites when I can, and I do speaking engagements. I've been doing that for the last 3 years because I think it's really important that we listen to each other and that we help each other. And I'm still nervous every time I get up and speak, but first of all, I'd like to say that from a woman, Ongohome woman perspective, it's been very hard. It's been very hard at watching everything unfold in front of you, and the lives that are being taken. And I'd like to to honor Sam George, who is Dudley George's brother, just died a couple weeks ago. And Sam George, if it wasn't for Dudley George, things probably wouldn't have changed for us. And Sam, he fought for justice in so many ways right till he died. And so I want to honor him because everything's changed from that point forward. I brought some pictures with me from when we got attacked. And while I'm speaking, I can hand these around. And these are pictures from what happened to us on April 20th, 2006. That changed everything for us. As Haudenosaunee Six Nations, we reclaimed our right to the land, and which has been stolen from us and robbed and molested and everything you can think of. And so I'm gonna pass these around. I'll start. My oldest daughter, who's expecting any time. She was one of the women that were on the site, as well as myself. I had left earlier that day or that evening. About 1 o'clock, we'd done the last round. We used to go monitor what's going on with the OPP and everything. But my daughter had been sleeping in the trailer, and when the OPP came in, she was so tired and everything that she couldn't wake up, and they were going to start kicking her. But luckily, she had gotten out okay. But things changed for her as well since then. She's not so active. I'm hoping somewhere along the line that she'll get back into everything because she was there day and night. And my children were. I have four of them, and they made homemade tents and stuff like that. And so, and it was really good to see that our children were connected to the land and that they were there to protect it, because we've seen all these transitions for the last 3 years. There's been so many, and it's really nice to see that our kids are there with us. And because of everything that's happening to us, and because we've been on the, I guess, hot spot, so to speak, everybody's watching us, the world's watching us. At times, it's really hard on us. There's like trying to do the right thing, I guess. Trying to do the right thing. I know, like right now, it's I've been involved with marches and trying to do unity gatherings and trying to help the chiefs and the clan mothers, because I know it's really hard on them, and as well as the drugs. Right now, we're working on. There's a few of us women that are working on the prescription drugs, Oxycontins and Percocets that are taking over some of our lives on the reserve, and I know that, and that's a struggle itself. Watching our children basically die, and so that's where I'm at right now, is trying to help our community mend from the residential schools to the struggles of the land rights and to the struggles of self-identity. Because at times our kids, and it's not just our kids, it's our people that are having difficulty of trying to find where they fit in, trying to find out where they fit in, and trying to find their own identity. Because believe it or not, our identity has been hit really hard. It's been targeted from the first time that Europeans came in to take away who we are. And it stripped us down, and it stripped us down a lot, because you see the results of it today. When we're standing there, we're confused of where we should be. So as a woman, that's my concern, and that's my main concern right now is our kids, because those are our future. Those are our future that has to take us into that next generation. And when our kids are hooked on drugs, on prescription drugs or the street drugs, there is no future. So we're looking into a lot of that right now with like these doctors that are just busy handing out prescriptions left, right, and center. And I'm not going to sit here and say the whole thing is on blaming on the doctors, because it's a combination of everything. It's a combination of everything that has been put in front of us. And I know, like, even the last couple of years, we had an opportunity to go back to our homelands, which is upstate New York, in Syracuse, and look, actually living or standing and walking on the land that we were massacred, that was really hard on us, because the mounds are still there and our people were never buried properly. And so, like, we have a lot of things that are going on, and it's not just like one thing, it's like a combination of a lot of things. Massacres, residential schools, raping our children, killing our children, all those things. These things are all in front of us, and we're trying to deal with it, and we're trying to cope with those things as best as we can. And sometimes it gets hard, and because we're dealing with so many all at once. And I think it's great that, you know, when you invite us out to, so that we can talk and so that we can share our own stories from living it. Because we are the ones that live it, and we're the ones that have to deal with it every day. Like, and all the messes that Canada has done and the United States has done to our people, we're busy trying to fix all those messes up and put the education back out there that was taken from us and taken from everybody. So. And I got some pictures of Peru, and again, like, from when General Sullivan ordered, or when General Sullivan came in on us and he scorched the earth, he burnt everything and took us out of our homelands from upstate New York. That was 1779. We had guns drawn on our heads. In 1924, the RCMP was sent in on our homelands in Six Nations with guns drawn over our heads. In 1959, we still had those guns drawn over our heads when they came in again. In 2006, we still have those guns drawn and over our heads. So what has changed? What has changed for us? Nothing. In fact, it's getting worse. And Peru is probably a very good demonstration of what's happening in Peru. And with the pictures that are going around, you'll probably be able to see almost the same picture. Same gun, same picture. And again, you got Canada trying to take over somebody else's homeland in a country they have no business in. And I know we had visitors from Colombia, and there's a free trade that they had signed off. And what's happened over in Colombia with our people in Colombia is that they set up a dam there, and where our medicines are grown along that water. Well, because the dam's there, the water is stagnant, so it's sitting there and it's killing all those municipal plants along the side. And it's not only that, it's causing malaria, because the water is not flowing the way it should be, and it's just sitting there, so it's still. So now we got them going into Peru trying to do free trade in Peru. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And so that part of that genocide and that annihilation of the first people is very much in effect as it was 200-300 years ago. And the struggle is there. It's there, and it's probably getting worse. Because right now our languages funds, the funding is getting cut off. Every time that we try to make a different approach and try to do things peacefully, it seems like we are getting to nowhere. Our languages are our identity. So we fought for our language, to restore our language back in the schools and that. And then since 2006, they were trying to find out a way of how to take our language again. So they done cutbacks. So these things are in a doctor's care. All these things that they put into place with those treaties, they have never honored them. And part of it is because, like, back in, my mom told me, like, throughout my time that I was growing up, that when Canada was trying to form a country, that because we were already a sovereign nation, that they had to take us out. In order for them to be a country, they had to take out us as a sovereign nation. So you look at when the newcomers came into this land. We had all this land, and what we said was we would share it. We would share this land. So then Canada comes along and says, well, they got land. They got this power, and because Canada looks at money and land as power, whereas we don't. So they say, let's take the land. So now we got the farmers in there, and they're farming, and what the government was doing behind our backs was handing out these titles and these deeds illegally. So now they said, they got the land. Now they got all this money because we had signed lease agreements, on 99-year lease agreements that they were supposed to pay 2 cents annually on over 900,000 acres. So we had revenue coming in. And because we're not money people, we weren't, and our money was piling up. So they say, okay, well, they have all this money, which means they have all this power. So how do we get the power? How do we get the money? So they borrowed it off of us. And McGill University is one of the infrastructures that we helped restore with our money. And the last time I knew that McGill University owed us on compound interest is back in 2001, which was $7.1 billion. And that was one for infrastructure, Welland Canal, Oscody Hall, which is the Upper Law Society. So that's where some of our money went to build the infrastructures for Canada. So then they say, okay, well, they still got money coming in. They still have all this power. So, well, how do we get that? Well, you know, because they're trustworthy people, how about we say, okay, well, we'll open up a trust fund. We'll look after the trust fund. So our people agreed, not knowing what was going to happen, not knowing the outcome. They said, yeah, okay. So now Canada's got our land and our trust account. So then what do? They sent in the army in 1924 and put in an illegal system in there that is arms to their government that would look after things the way they wanted to look after it. And that's what's happened. They took out the traditional government and replaced it with the elite, their system. And so that's why, like, everything's happening in the last 3 years. In the last 3 years, I've seen a lot of changes. When Canada sat down with our traditional people at the negotiation table, that was a giant step. Because then they sat down, when they sat down, they recognized our guys, our hereditary chiefs, as a sovereign nation. But they're not outwardly saying this because, again, you still have this money and you still have this land. They still are hanging on to these things like it's some kind of ownership. Because if they outwardly say, yes, we stole your land, well, then they gotta compensate for that land that they stole and put all their businesses and their corporations on. Again, it goes back to leased lands. So, and that's what's happened. That's what's happened to us. So our hereditary chiefs are trying to do the best that they can at negotiating. And I guess the rest of us, we're trying to do what our things by standing up on the development sites and doing what we have to in a good way that nobody's going to get hurt, which is really hard and trying because it's frustrating. It's very frustrating and it's hard not to get angry. And because you're standing there and you're in, and you see all these lies in front of you. I guess that's probably the hardest thing for me, is standing there and standing there trying to talk to somebody and reason with somebody to do this in a peaceful way. So I'll let these guys talk it on. So this is some more pictures here, and this is like this here. This picture here says no sovereign nation, no reservation. We're dealing with this in the United States as well. Our people, like the racism, the injustices, and this is this other picture in the back here. That's of Caledonia, right beside the site where they got X's across our flags, because sometimes it gets crazy over there, and they want to. I don't know what it is about the Canadian flag that they seem to want to put up all the time and say that we're on Canada land, I guess, but they're so bent on trying to put their flags up on our territories, and they'll do anything to cause havoc.